Welcome to the O Woman Podcast, where we discuss so many things related to women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships to our orgasms to our children and their ovaries, and we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big open welcome to you. Thanks for joining me for the show today. This is episode 95 of the O Woman Podcast. We're getting dangerously close to 100 episodes, which is a really exciting milestone. And today we're going to kind of continue what we talked about yesterday, but we're going to flip it around. So yesterday we talked about five aspects of intimate relationships that are underrated, in my opinion, obviously. And today I wanted to talk about five aspects of intimate relationships that are overrated, that I feel are overrated. Credit should be given to my husband for giving me some ideas, about some things that we both agreed or he thought of, as being overrated. And so this is kind of a something that we thought of together, kind of bounce ideas off of each other, because it was hard for me to, think of stuff that wasn't just all kind of similar things that I found to be overrated. So I was looking for different sorts of aspects. And so he helped me think of some. So just a little review. Last episode, some of the things that were underrated, one of them was the ability and newfound opportunity to be able to share your hopes and your dreams and your hardships and be really intimately emotional with someone. Another thing that was underrated is spending time working together, and that wasn't necessarily working at a job together, but it was spending time co-creating something, instead of just, you know, going your separate ways and doing your chores or doing your household tasks. And also, another thing that's underrated is spending time remembering your past and where you've come from and where you've been together, the two of you. And also what's underrated is saying what I like about you. I think we get so wrapped up in thinking, I love this person. I'm going to say, I love you and this and that, which is of course great, but it's nice to talk about what you like that they do and how you like, this about them. It's kind of a nice, revival of the word like. And the last thing that I mentioned last episode was spending time apart is underrated. Sometimes people spend too much time apart. Sometimes people spend not enough time apart, but it's something that should be a focus of a relationship because it gives you a chance to think of yourself and work through stuff with yourself. So today we're going to talk about things that are overrated in a relationship. And the first thing, the thing that immediately popped into my mind, and also my husband's, was being social with other people. To me, being social or feeling like you're supposed to be social, spending time with other married couples or other intimate, you know, other people that are intimate with each other or other couples, you know, it's so overrated. Jason and I rarely do that at all. And there's only a few couples that we do that with because it's not worth our time, honestly. I mean, I like people. He likes people. But there's other things that we feel like we need to do besides feeling pressure to be social, either with old friends that are now in a relationship or something, or new friends that you've met and, you know, have bonded as couples. So the thing about that is, you're always on the go if you spend a lot of time hanging out with other couples. Because we both drive a long way for our job. It is so not fun to leave again once you get home. You get home and you don't want to go back out again. Even on the weekend, it's like, oh crap, are we going to go out and go on a date? I don't even feel like it. Let's just stay home. Because there's so much travel time and that kind of thing. And it's not nice to feel always on the go. Some people enjoy it more than others. But it also doesn't let you have any alone time, really, with each other. If you're constantly in transit, having to hang out with this group of people or this and that, and it doesn't even have to be a couple. It could just be old friends or something. But now you feel like, I can't stop hanging out with them because I'm in this relationship. It'll be rude or they'll think I'm, you know, forgetting all about them and stuff. And you're not, but things change when you enter into a long-term or a part, you know, or just any sort of partnership that's really valuable to you. But having to go and do all these things, it really can be very tiring, really can be very draining. And while it's fun sometimes, there's just as much value for you just spending time with just the two of you, which is really nice, because if you focus too much on spending time with other people and doing the appropriate social thing, you do lose out on your very intimate special moments. Because no matter what, it's impossible to feel that way with each other, that fully intimate and open and, you know, comfortable, when there's other people around, even if you spend a lot of time with them. Another big thing that's overrated about long-term intimate relationships or intimate relationships is the focus on milestones. Everyone feels this pressure in society, women especially, to, by a certain age, you should be doing this, you should have this many kids, you should be married, you should be, you know, like at the top of your career, all these different things. So the milestones are what we focus on. Some people get married and they think, oh, this is like the be-all, end-all life event. Or even the wedding, for example, is the big event. And then the marriage after it isn't really as much of a focus when you're going through all the complicated layers of planning a wedding. But the focusing on, oh, our relationship is really close, really intimate, I'm so excited, I can't wait until we get engaged. And then, oh, I'm looking forward to getting married. And then I'm looking forward to having kids. And then I'm looking forward to stepping back into my career. You know, you can always look forward to those things. That's normal. Everybody gets excited about stuff that they're excited about. But just assess how much you're actually focusing on those milestones because you feel like you're supposed to, and then how much of it is you really are excited about this next step and you're thinking about it and it's really on your radar as a partnership. I feel like sometimes the concept of milestones, while when they're organically imagined for yourself, when you feel like this was a big milestone for me, whether it's not a normal milestone for society, when they're not like that, when you're just thinking of a milestone as I am getting married, I am having a kid, you know, sometimes it can be a little bit empty to have achieved the milestone. That's one of the reasons why you might be looking on to the next milestone. If your motivations for doing it are very personal and emotional, then you'll just be excited about it. But if you're doing it just because it's a milestone and you should be there, I encourage you to think about that, because that's not really what you're wanting. Assess what you really want, and it could, you know, hurt a relationship if you're, the two of you especially, are moving ahead just to move ahead. Take the time to enjoy now. It doesn't mean your relationship is more or less valid if you're engaged or if you're married or if you've been dating this long or that long or have children or own a house together. You know, and milestones too don't have to go in order. A lot of people think they do. You can buy a house before you get married. That's what Jason and I did. You can have a kid before you buy a house. You can have a kid before you get married. There's so many orders to things. You can focus on your career, get married when you're 40. You can never get married. You can have a kid when you're 40 and focus on your career. I mean, there's tons of different ways to bring your own meaning to these classic milestone events so that they're actually a really special milestone for you and not just going through the motions. The third thing that is overrated about an intimate relationship is that concept of how passion never dies. Keep passion alive. You definitely have to keep passion alive, but that doesn't mean you have to keep it alive all the time. You have to, you know, resurrect it often enough, to keep the wind in your sails of your relationship. But the concept where you found the one you love, you want to be with this person, that there's so much passion, there's so much intensity between you forever, that's not a real thing. I mean, you're going to have passion off and on forever, hopefully, if you pick the right person. But there's times when you just don't have any passion. You're like, I'm too tired. I don't want to do this or that. And it comes and goes in waves. And people have to be comfortable with that, because a relationship is cyclical, just like everything else in life. And being worried that, oh no, there's not enough passion, I just feel like we're roommates for this week. This week just feels like we're roommates and friends. That's not necessarily a bad thing. Relationships have layers to them. And for you to always be focused on that passionate side can be misleading and can be honestly exhausting, because you're stressing yourself out or you're trying to keep up with this idea that there's overflowing sexuality and passion and, you know, heat between you. The ability to cut that on and off is actually really beneficial in a relationship, because if you didn't, you wouldn't ever get stuff done. Everybody can think of a beginning of a relationship when they do absolutely nothing else except go to work and spend time with this other person, because you're so distracted, you're so excited. I would find it horrible to be that distracted and excited all the time, because I'm equally as excited about other things in life, for sure, but I need to be able to do these other things, and you can't if you're so excited about the other person nonstop. So the concept of passion being this unflagging thing isn't real, it isn't reality, and you shouldn't hold yourself to that standard. Another thing that is overrated in an intimate relationship is kind of a joke, but not really, is sleeping in bed with someone. Of course, it's cozy to snuggle with someone, but after you've been doing it for years, sometimes you just want to sleep alone. Sometimes you just want them to move over or go sleep on the sofa or get out of the way, especially if your partner snores, for example, or hogs the bed or steals the covers or farts a lot. You know, it just depends. And I feel like my husband and I have a pretty good sleeping arrangement. We don't even have a very big bed. We have a double. My best friend laughs at me and thinks, how can you have a double bed? We have a king bed, and it's still like, that would be fine if we had more space. But we're just used to it, and I mean, we'll push each other out of the way, you know, if we need more space. But it's really nice some days when he goes to work and I don't have to, and I just like hog the whole bed and spread out. It's the best. So one thing that is overrated, and I think it only becomes overrated once you're so used to it. At first, it's fantastic, and it's probably underrated, is sleeping with someone, sleeping in the same bed as someone. I don't mean having sex with them. I mean actually sharing a bed and feeling comfortable and close and intimate with them and safe. But sleeping in the same bed at a certain point is just, you just want a break. You want a little mini vacation to be an exciting alone time. And that's okay. You can admit that. It's totally allowed. You can say out loud, sleeping with a partner is overrated. That's acceptable, I think. And the last reason that an intimate relationship can be overrated, or this aspect of this relationship is overrated, is the idea that that other person like completes you. That idea is overrated. Now, there might be many layers to you that feel that way. I feel that way about my partner, but believing that in such a way that they give you more meaning than you give yourself is overrated and is actually detrimental to you. The ideal would be that you, when you feel like it, co-create meaning and completion in your own life with this other person. And in other aspects of life, you hang on to much of your own ideas and your own self and your own reality, so that you have a really great shared space and shared thought and shared idea about the way to be. And shared life, but then you have a secret aspect to yourself that still is surprising to the other person, that still is exciting to you, that still makes you feel like you are who you used to be before you were in a relationship, if that makes any sense. So that idea that, oh, this is like my other half, in a way that can maybe change your behavior and change who you are, isn't great, and therefore totally overrated. Because when we over-romanticize a partnership, we forget about some of the harder aspects to it that you still have to work for and fight for. And you might think, this relationship, maybe I shouldn't be in it, even though it's probably a good one for you. Because you realize, oh, there's a lot of work. But there's always a lot of work. You just have to think about, is this the right kind of work? Is this the kind of work that makes you stronger and better? Or is it the kind of work that makes you weaker and more tired? And that's something really to think about. So there's five things that are overrated in intimate relationships. There's definitely more, but I was having a hard time thinking of some. So I stopped with five, just like the last episode where we talked about five aspects that were underrated. So hopefully those two episodes together are a nice compliment. And if you missed yesterday's episode, go back and check it out, because these two episodes go really nicely together. Once again, I want to thank you for listening to the show. Please subscribe to A Woman Podcast on iTunes and rate the episodes. That would be really great and really helpful to myself and to anybody interested in listening. Check out the website if you want to, awomanpodcast.com. And any episodes you've missed, all other 94 of them, you can check it out on the page that's called Episode Archives and find them all there, a little bit about them, a little summary, and then listen to the audio also. And then check us out on Facebook, A Woman Podcast on Facebook. So thanks so much for listening, as always, and I'll talk to you next time. Okay, bye.